Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, you may or may not have noticed this, but over the last few years, as I've been your pastor, I've had to begin holding the Bible further and further away from me as I read it. Middle age has come for me. My 20/20 vision has eluded me, and so here I am wearing glasses now. Some of you have noticed that already. Some of you have commented on that. I've heard comments like, you look more intelligent. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but nonetheless, here I am wearing glasses. Now, here's the thing about glasses. When you wear them, you see things through a lens. And the lens that you see things through, it changes how you view things. So the glasses that I'm wearing, they actually have progressive lenses in them. And so when I look out the top of the lenses, I see things differently than when I look out of the bottom of the lenses. But regardless of the type of glasses that you have, whether they're regular glasses, whether they're reading glasses, even if they're sunglasses, the lens that you look at things through, it changes how you see them. So last week we launched into a new series titled Thanks Living, and as we're going through this series, we're looking at several different psalms, and as we look at these psalms, we're talking about living a lifestyle of gratitude. And this is what I believe we're called to do as believers. As believers, we are called to see things through a lens of gratitude. We're called to see things through a lens of gratefulness to the Lord. And when we see things through a lens of gratitude, when we see things through this lens of gratefulness to the Lord, I believe that not only will it change our attitude in the midst of whatever situation we might be in, but it's also going to change how we see that situation. It's going to change how we see the circumstances that we're in. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, there are probably a lot of different things that we could see things through a different lens. There are probably a lot of different things that we would benefit from looking at them through a lens of gratitude, through a lens of gratefulness to the Lord. Maybe it's a situation at work. Maybe someone you work with, or maybe someone you work for, man, they are making your life difficult. Maybe your temptation is to view them through a lens of complaint, or maybe even through a lens of contempt. Let me encourage you, begin viewing them through a lens of thankfulness. Maybe not thankfulness for their attitude, maybe not thankfulness for their actions, but simply begin thanking the Lord for them. And ask that God begin to accomplish His will in their life, and see if God doesn't begin to change your own heart in the process, in the midst of that situation. Maybe it's not a situation at work. Maybe it's a situation at home. Maybe there are struggles with one of your children, or maybe struggles with your spouse. Don't look over at your spouse right now, right? But maybe your temptation is to view them through a lens of disgust, or maybe even through a lens of disdain. Let me encourage you this morning, begin viewing them through a lens of thankfulness, and simply begin to thank the Lord for them. And as you thank the Lord for them, ask that God would accomplish His will in their life. And as you're thankful for them, see if God doesn't begin to change your own heart in the process. We are called to see things through a lens of gratitude. And as we're going through this series, and as we're looking at a different psalm each week, I want you to understand that each of these psalms is an invitation for us to see things through a lens of gratitude, that we might practice thankfulness in our lives every single day. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 67. Psalm 67, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 this morning. That's the entirety of the psalm, Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. At the very top of this psalm, as we're introduced to it, we read that it is for the choir director, or some translations say that it is for the chief musician. We actually see this introduction given in several different psalms, and there is debate over who the psalmist is talking about when he uses this phrase, chief musician. Is he talking about the choir director? Is he talking about the one leading the music? Well, that's a good possibility. Or is he talking about the chief musician, the Lord himself? Well, that's a really good possibility as well. And I think, really, since it's not clarified for us, I think it's okay if we maybe see this as a little bit of both. Because as we look at this psalm, the psalm is written as a song. It is written for the music leader. It is written for the song leader. And so in that sense, it is written for the choir director. But in a very real way, because this psalm is written as a psalm of praise, it's really not written for man's ears at all. It's really written for the Lord's ears. And so in that sense, it is written for the chief musician, the Lord himself. And I want you to understand that this is really true for every single song of praise that we sing, whether we sing these songs on Sunday morning, whether we sing them on Wednesday nights, anytime that our hearts and our mouth are filled with praise, understand our singing, our worship is not meant for man. Our worship is meant for the Lord. Hear that again. Our singing, our worship is not meant for man. Our worship is meant for the Lord. Well-known pastor and author Francis Chan, he recently discussed our tendency as humans to leave church and comment on whether or not we enjoyed worship. And so we might leave church and we might say, man, I really enjoyed worship today. Or, you know what, I really didn't like the songs that we sang. I didn't enjoy worship at all today. And so Chan goes on to ask, have you ever considered that worship was not about you? Have you ever considered that the songs that we sang, they weren't for you? Now, that might hurt a little bit. That might step on a few toes, but that's the reality. When we gather to worship, when we gather to sing songs of praise, we must remember that our worship is not about us, because our worship is not meant for man. Our worship is meant for the Lord. And so the question for us when we leave church should not be, did I enjoy worship or did you enjoy worship? The question should be, was the Lord glorified in this place today? Did the songs that we sing point to the Lord's greatness? Did the songs that we sing magnify the Lord in this place today? And let me just tell you, if the songs that we sing give praise and honor to the Lord, if the songs that we sing magnify the Lord, if they elevate who He is, as we sing these songs, when we lift our voices together, and if we sing with our hearts and our attitudes focused on the Lord and the Lord alone, let me tell you, the Lord enjoyed our worship. The Lord enjoyed our praise. In fact, Jesus said in John 6:23 that an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship Him. So let me pause right here and ask, where is your focus in worship? Is your focus on whether or not you enjoyed this song or that song, or is your focus on bringing glory and honor to the Lord? Where is your focus in worship? And my prayer is that our hearts and our attitudes in worship would always be focused on the chief musician, on the Lord Himself. As the psalmist wrote Psalm 67, his focus was not on himself, his focus was not on man, his focus was on the chief musician, on the Lord. So with that in mind, let's see these words that he writes to the chief musician, Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us. May He make His face shine upon us so that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy, for You judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise You, God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting how the psalmist begins this psalm in verse 1. He says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us. May He make His face to shine upon us." Now, those words, they may not hold too much significance for us, but for the Jewish people, for those who would have originally been reading this psalm and even singing this psalm, these words would have held great significance for them. You see, the words that we read here in verse 1 were pulled by the psalmist from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 26, which the Jews would know as the Aaronic, like the name Aaron, the Aaronic blessing, or the priestly blessing. It was the highest state of blessing that they believed the nation could enjoy as they walked in obedience to the Lord. Now, this blessing, it may sound familiar to some of you, because some pastors still use this blessing as a prayer or even a blessing over their congregation in their churches. In fact, the last church that Sarah and I were members of before I went into full-time ministry, First Baptist Church Tulsa, their pastor then, who is still their pastor today, he still uses this blessing over the church at the end of every single service. "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace both now and forever. Amen." And so this is a blessing that my wife and I, we are very familiar with. Now, while it was a significant blessing for the Jews and really a prayer for the things that we see there in this blessing for God's people, on this side of the cross, on this side of the resurrection, for the believer, we are to understand and apply it somewhat differently. Because for the believer, this blessing isn't just a prayer that we will be blessed. Rather, it is a recognition of all the things that we have already been blessed with in Jesus Christ. Or it could be understood as a prayer that we would simply come to a deeper level of understanding, that we would have a fuller understanding of God's blessing that we have received in Jesus Christ, that we might have a deeper level of thankfulness for our salvation, for our redemption, and for God's graciousness that has already been poured out on us in Jesus. In other words, for the believer, this priestly blessing, it is a reminder to live lives of gratitude every single day. And so now as we continue to walk through our passage, I want you to see three important reminders about a life of gratitude. First, a life of gratitude is a testimony to all people. Let's look at verse 2 again. It says, "So that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations." A life of gratitude is a testimony to all people. And there are two things that I want you to take away from verse 2 here. First, God's blessings and our gratitude work together to point to God's glory. After this prayer of blessing in verse 1, we see in verse 2, "so that your way may be known." understand, when we constantly complain about our day, when we constantly complain about our life, who does that point to? It points to ourselves. It points to our circumstances. But if we, instead of complaining, if we will practice thankfulness, if we will practice this heart of gratitude for the blessings that have already been poured out on us, if we will be thankful, not just for the tangible blessings, but for the blessings that God has given us, giving us Himself to us, His face shining upon us, His goodness covering us, His graciousness being poured out on us. When we recognize all that God has done for us, not because of who we are, but because of who He is, because of His mercy, because of His grace. When we live a life of gratitude in the midst of any and all circumstances, let me tell you, it says something to the world around us. It says something to the world around us about not only what we believe, but also who we believe in. It says something to the people about what we have in Christ. So let me pause right here and say this. Complaining is a me-centered focus, but praising is a Christ-centered focus. Hear that again. Complaining is a me-centered focus, but praising is a Christ-centered focus. And as believers, our desire should be to live our lives in such a way that we don't point back to ourselves, that we aren't simply pointing to our circumstances, but we should desire to live our lives in such a way that we are pointing to the God who saved us. So verse 2 is a reminder that God's blessings and our gratitude work together to point to God's glory. The second takeaway from verse 2 is that God's way is the important way to be made known. Notice it does not say so that our way may be known. It does not say so that the world's way may be known. It says so that your way may be known on earth. God's way is the important way to be made known. If we are pointing anyone to any other way other than the Lord's way, then we are pointing them the wrong way. We are pointing them in the wrong direction. And so we must point people in the right direction. We are called as believers to point people to God's way. We are called to make His way known. This goes all the way back to the Great Commission for us, that we would make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Understand, when we baptize, we don't baptize in our own name. I don't baptize in my name. I don't baptize in the name of First Baptist Church Stockdale. When we baptize individuals, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because it is our desire to make His way known. And when we recognize the blessings that we have received from the Lord, especially when we recognize the blessing of Christ, His sacrifice for us on the cross, and our great salvation through a risen Lord, when we recognize these blessings that we have received from Him, and when we practice gratitude in our lives, it makes His way known on the earth and among all nations. So a life of gratitude is a testimony to all people. Second, a life of gratitude is an invitation for all people. Let's look at verses 3 and 5 again. And verse 3 and verse 5 both say the same thing. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. A life of gratitude is an invitation for all people. So first the psalmist says, let the peoples praise you. And then the psalmist goes on to say, let all the peoples praise you. It's almost as if first he's saying, let those who have experienced your blessings already, let your people, God, let us come together and praise you. But then he's also inviting everyone else. As we are seen praising you, may others see us. And may they come to experience the greatness of God for themselves, that they might also desire to praise you as well, that they might also desire to turn back to you and express their thankfulness to you as well. So you've probably noticed that yawning is contagious. If you yawn and someone sees you yawn, more than likely they're going to yawn too. In fact, just talking about yawning can kind of instigate that urge inside of you to yawn. That's all right if you feel like you need to yawn right now. I won't take it personally. Just don't be offended if I yawn back, all right? Amen. So, yawning is contagious. And why is that? Psychologists believe that it could be due to our empathetic nature as humans, that we yawn because we have empathy for those that are yawning. It could also be, they believe, that it's simply behavioral mirroring, that we are mirroring what we see other people do. But regardless, whether it's empathy, whether it's behavioral mirroring, whether it's another reason altogether, we understand that we have experienced this contagiousness of yawning for ourselves. But did you know that gratitude can actually operate the same way as yawning? When you practice thankfulness, when you operate in gratitude, it can actually create that same attitude in others, where others see you being thankful and they have a desire to be thankful as well. Others see you practicing thankfulness and so they have this desire to have gratitude as well. So gratitude can be contagious. Unfortunately, so can complaining. Complaining can also operate the same way. And so when we complain, whether we like it or not, when we have that negative attitude, we are inviting others to join us in that negative attitude. We're inviting others to join us in complaining. So let me just pause right here and ask, what behavior are you inviting others to join you in? Are you inviting others to join you in a life of complaint, or are you inviting others to join you in a life of gratitude? What behavior are you inviting others to join you in? And if we're going to model something for others, if we're going to model some type of behavior for others, then why not model a life of gratitude? Why not model a life of thanksgiving so that others will be drawn in to mirror our behavior or to have empathy and to join us in that life of gratitude, that they might see our gratitude for the Lord, that they might come to the Lord for themselves, that they might be thankful as well. So a life of gratitude is a testimony to all people. It is an invitation for all people. Finally, this morning, a life of gratitude is a recognition of God's blessings. So look at verses 6 and 7 again. It says, "The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him." A life of gratitude is a recognition of God's blessing. So this psalm, it starts out with this familiar blessing, this Aaronic blessing, this priestly blessing, as a prayer that the Lord would bless us, or a recognition that God has blessed us. But then in verses 6 and 7, it closes out with a recognition of all of God's blessings that have been poured out. And the example that the psalmist uses here would be a very practical one for the people of that time, because more than likely, the psalmist wrote this psalm in the midst of the harvest. So in our town every year, the Methodist Church here in town has a fundraiser called the Lord's Acre. You may be very familiar with that fundraiser at this point. I'll be honest, before moving back to Stockdale, the Lord's Acre is not something that I had heard of before. And so being curious like I am, I had to look up what the Lord's Acre is. So Back in 1922, Reverend Henry H. Melton in Bluffton, Georgia, asked his congregation to set aside 1 acre of land. And from their 1 acre, whatever they earned on that 1 acre that year, he asked that they give those earnings to the church so that they would be able to use them for the Lord. Well, not only was that fundraiser a success, but it quickly caught on and it spread both internationally and interdenominationally. And while not every church still practices this fundraiser in the same way, many churches still use that name, the Lord's Acre, which, by the way, the Methodist Church's fundraiser is next weekend. So as we think about the desire of Reverend Melton and the heart behind the Lord's Acre, it was a way for them to recognize the blessings that they had received from the Lord, but it was also a way for them to express their gratitude by giving back to the Lord. You know, one of the greatest ways that we can recognize and express our gratitude for what the Lord has given to us is by giving back to Him. And I want you to understand, we don't give back to the Lord because He needs our stuff. We give back to the Lord because we need more of Him. Amen. And giving back to the Lord, it takes our eyes off of ourselves. Giving back to the Lord, it takes our eyes off of our circumstances. Giving back to the Lord, it takes our eyes off of our own abilities. And it takes our eyes off of everything earthly, and it places our eyes on the eternal. As we recognize what the Lord has done for us, and as we recognize that He can and will continue to take care of us as we simply trust Him. We don't give back to the Lord because He needs our stuff. We give back to the Lord because we need more of Him. A life of gratitude is a testimony to all people. It is an invitation for all people, and it is a recognition of God's blessings. And as we recognize all that God has given to us, we are compelled to live this life of gratitude, and we are called to give back to Him. And the first thing that God asks for us to give to Him, understand, it's not our finances. The first thing that God asks for us to give to Him is our hearts. God desires for us to give ourselves to Him. And if you've never given yourself, if you've never given your heart to the Lord by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to whatever it is the Lord is doing in your heart today. Maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what, that's me. I've never placed my faith in Jesus Christ. This is how I know that God desires for us to give ourselves to Him. He gave Himself to us. He modeled it for us. He gave Himself when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, rising again 3 days later. And anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. If you've never done that, but you're ready to do that today, then I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. I'm going to be standing right down front. You can join me down here. And today can be the day of your salvation. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to make my faith in Christ public through baptism. Listen, we don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe that it's something that God calls every single born-again believer to do as a step of obedience. And so if you've never taken that step, but you're ready to commit to that step today, then I'd love to talk with you and pray with you as well. And maybe you're here and you would say, well, I've given my life to Christ already, and I've already taken that next step of baptism by immersion, and I know that God's calling me to make this my church home. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, but I know God wants me to become a member of this church, to be on mission with this church. If God's calling you to become a member here today, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.